flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
My nemesis is on.
Baby, here I am, a man on the scene.
309.
I can give you what you want, but you got to come home with me.
McMonagle here with you. That song. Embarrassed myself with that song. Thanks, Craig. If you're listening, driving in to do your show, thanks a lot for forcing me to sing this song because you can play it on the drums. You're selfish. No, I'm just kidding. But I did embarrass myself. 888-808-1019. Here on The Fan. So, Avi in Long Island wants to talk about the Giants, and I'm going to do it in just a second. I want to talk about the Giants for a second. As we finish talking about the Jets, dude, Giants here, I got to get to Pete Alonso as well. But I saw something, you know, obviously so much talk right now, right? You got the Jets and the new coach and what's, you know, the optimism around the New York Jets whenever you make a wholesale changes like this. You know, you bring in a new coach, you're going to get a new general manager. It's a dawning of a new era, optimism. The team's actually not terribly constructed at the moment. Maybe have Aaron Rodgers, maybe have somebody else. But there's optimism around the Jets that they just made a hire that's going to change the franchise. And for the Giants, there is no such optimism with the changing of the guard because there was no changing of the guard. We still have Joe Shane. You still have Brian Daboll. You still have the same general manager who, you know, is the laughing stock of football at the moment where he let Saquon Barkley go to the Eagles. How could you do it? How could you do it? The Eagles are in the Super Bowl championship game. You get ridiculous, stupid jokes from Burkhardt and Brady. Well, I guess Burkhardt didn't really give you a joke. He just said, Giant fans are going to have trouble sleeping. I guess maybe that's a joke if you took into account it was what John Mara said. And Tom Brady, giant mistake. I mean, you could not do worse, Brady. You learn nothing at your own roast. Nothing. Giant mistake. Anyway, with all the talk of Saquon Barkley and now the Jets having some optimism around their hire, I heard BT say, and I saw the story, what's the optimism around the Giants? Giant fans, I ask you, as the Jets celebrate their glorious press conference and the Eagles are celebrating going to the Super Bowl for the third time in 6 years, but this time at the expense of the New York Giants. Giant fans, where, what could you possibly be excited about? What could you be hopeful for? What's the point of going on? Why wake up in the morning, Giant fans? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because despite the fact that nobody believes in either of these two quarterbacks at the top of the draft, the New York Giants have an opportunity to draft a quarterback third overall. They have an opportunity, as you saw the coach talking to Sanders, Shedeur Sanders, at the bowl game, as there's a possibility, you know, that Cam Ward could be available at three. They could trade up with number one Tennessee, who sounds like maybe they aren't interested in taking a quarterback. Because let me tell you, if you think there's optimism around a defensive-minded former Jet player head coach, wait until there's optimism of a new quarterback. Because I'm sorry. If you think Dan Quinn is the reason Washington got to the NFC Championship game, you are fooling yourself. If you think it's the rest of the roster that let him down and played terribly and fumbled the ball and missed tackles left and right, and he was the only thing in that game keeping them close into the third quarter, that, of course, being Jaden Daniels, if you think anything else besides the quarterback transformed the Washington Commanders, you're lost. It's the quarterback. And if the Giants have an opportunity to draft a quarterback and they take Sanders or Ward, let me tell you this. Let me tell you this plain and simple, since we're having a conversation about the Giants and Jets. The New York Giants, if they draft a quarterback and he can play, the New York Giants are closer to a Super Bowl than the New York Jets are. So we could talk about all the optimism you want around the Jets and the press conference that was won yesterday. And we could talk about the lack of optimism, enthusiasm around the three-win Giants. And believe me, I'm with you. There is none right now. But if they draft Shedeur Sanders or they draft Cam Ward and he goes out there and throws two touchdown passes and plays well week one, the optimism is going to be through the roof. And I will tell you quite plainly, this is how much I put the emphasis on the quarterback. If the Giants draft a quarterback and he can play and he shows that early on, hell, after they draft the quarterback, you could make the argument the Giants are closer to a Super Bowl than the Jets are. The Jets just hired a coach who ensures them a better season, a coach that ensures them that the nonsense may be over and he might change the culture a little bit. And with Aaron Rodgers, certainly they can go out and win 9-10 games and maybe even break the playoff streak. But unless Aaron Rodgers is going to be Aaron Rodgers of old, they aren't winning Super Bowls. And once that ship sails and Aaron Rodgers goes off into retirement or wherever his new home will be after this year or maybe even next year, where are the Jets? Because you have to answer that question, my friends. Who's the quarterback? And if the Giants draft one, they have a chance of getting that right. And if they are right and Brian Daboll develops them, they're closer to the Super Bowl than the Jets are. Press conferences don't win you games. Drafting quarterbacks do. Press conferences don't get you to the Super Bowl. Nor does the necessarily just the right head coach on his own. Quarterbacks do. The greatest quarterback in the league is about to win three in a row. And his running back is Kareem Hunt. And his best wide receiver is a rookie who really only has speed and an aging tight end. Now, he's got a great head coach and he's got a great defensive coordinator. And the three of them are the pillars of the organization. But it's about the quarterback. And where's the optimism? What can you feel good about as a New York Giant fan? They have a chance to draft a quarterback at the top of the draft. A quarterback some believe stinks. A quarterback some believe can be a franchise game-changing quarterback. And we'll find out which one. But that's my optimism. My optimism is I'm not going to watch Daniel Jones play next year, and I'm going to hopefully get a quarterback at the top three and go about rebuilding this franchise. That's the optimism. It's really not hard to find. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Avi in Long Island. What's up, Avi?
Hey, buddy. How are you, man? How
good.
You doing?
How are you?
Man, there's so much to talk about, but I first want to start with the Jets really quickly, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go talk about the Giants.
Sure.
The Jets, the sad thing about the Jets is that, you know, if you have Aaron Rodgers come back as the quarterback, no matter what you do, okay, even if Aaron Rodgers had the most successful season, it's not going to be good enough to win a Super Bowl. We all know that. And then next year or the year after when he finally retires, then you're stuck with who? Who's going to be your quarterback? And it's this constant, like, failure year after year after year. You're never going to be able to compete with the Mahomes, the Allens of the world. You need a real quarterback that has the gives you the opportunity to win a Super Bowl.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree with that ultimately, and I think obviously that's how most franchises should think. Not the franchise that has the longest playoff drought in professional sports. I think the immediate goal is to make the playoffs. I think that's more important than worrying about how do you compete with Aaron Rodgers. Ultimately, many franchises should think that way, not the Jets. The Jets have got to break this streak. The Jets have got to stop being the laughingstock of not just the NFL, but of all of professional sports. You can't be synonymous with losing. Everything works against it. Everything you try and do has that cloud hanging over it. Every time a story breaks, you're the laughingstock. You're the joke. You're the franchise who can't get it right. Like, they need to win. And while I agree with you, in 2 years after Aaron Rodgers, and especially if they do win, say they win 10, 11 games, get to the playoffs, lose in the first round, now they're drafting 20th, 21st, where are they in getting a quarterback once Aaron Rodgers leaves? I agree with that. It's going to be a tricky situation. They might have to bring in a veteran. Maybe maybe they figure something out and they draft the right quarterback in the second round. It's been done before. But my point is I will risk... it's not like they're in a position. If they were drafting first, we're not talking about it.
They got to make the playoffs first. I hear your point.
I think they desperately need to win. Yeah.
With the Giants, at least, with the Giants, you know, you have an opportunity to take a franchise quarterback,
mm-hmm.
whether it's, you know, Ward or Shedeur Sanders.
Yep.
You know,
we'll see. But there's no guarantee. They're third in the draft. I mean, I'm hopeful that
they
have an opportunity.
Let me ask you a question. Why would Cleveland take a quarterback when they have Deshaun Watson that they're owed a gazillion dollars to?
Yeah.
They have to pay him.
Because
how are they going to all of a sudden draft a quarterback? They can't draft the quarterback.
No, I disagree with you. I think they kind of have to. If I were them, I'd have to draft a quarterback. I mean, you're talking about what are you going to do? Get a veteran quarterback? He's not going to play this year. He re-tore his Achilles. He might never play again, and he's awful. Like, they need a quarterback solution now,
and
because of all that money, they can't afford to go out and buy a veteran quarterback.
You're right.
An opportunity to draft a young, inexpensive quarterback.
They have to find
a way to move on from him, and the best way to move on from him is a cheap quarterback, and they're drafting number two, so I totally disagree with you. I think Cleveland would be crazy.
I agree with you now. Yeah. No, you're right on that, because, you're right, I forgot he got injured. And now they need a quarterback on the cheap, and the only way that they can get a quarterback is to take it in draft. You're right. You know what? The Giants are going to end up getting the best player in the draft. That kid who plays for Colorado, plays offense and defense. Hunter, right. This kid, they say, is the best actually player in the draft.
They do.
Let's say the Giants get him this year. They're not going to have a good season because they're not going to be good because they don't have a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get the number one pick in the draft next year, and you know who's coming, right?
I have a feeling you're going to tell me Archie Manning.
Manning.
That sounds like a wonderful plan. I mean, it sounds like a wonderful plan. How do you get it to, how do you make it happen? Because how does this, that scenario certainly does not come with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll being the coach and GM. Now, that doesn't mean that it can't be successful. Obviously, they haven't been successful enough. But I'm hoping to get Brian Daboll a quarterback. I just think they hired him for it. I'd hate to see him go without ever trying it. And if they lose enough games with no quarterback this year, or whatever they decide to do, where they get the first pick next year, you can't convince. John Mara didn't sound like someone looking to tank next year. You heard him speak. So now you're moving on. What coach are you bringing in here to develop the quarterback? Doesn't mean you can't. And if Archie Manning is the guy, he'll find a way to be successful with whatever quarterback, whatever coach you give him. But how do you guarantee you get the first pick? How do you guarantee Archie Manning comes out? How do you guarantee Archie Manning is any better than Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward? It is what it is. I wish they would have done it last year. I wish they would have. I wish they would have lost all those games. I was saying it. I heard Marash talking about it today in the afternoon show. I was saying it yesterday morning. I really wish they would have, if they would have traded Saquon Barkley last year, not only would you have got something for him, and I don't know, like, it's funny to me too. Like, it's like, what would you have gotten for, like, we talk about hypocrites all, like, what would you have gotten for Barkley if you traded him midseason? You would have got maybe a fifth or sixth round pick. Okay, so there was no value to him last year, but suddenly now he's the greatest NFL player. He's the best player in the NFL, bar none. But nobody would have given you anything for him last year at the trade deadline. Like, maybe someone would have. I would have traded him last year and hoped I lost every single stinking game and been at the top of the draft for one of these quarterbacks. That's what I would have done if I were the owner. I would have been like, trade Saquon Barkley, lose every stinking game, and then I'm going to give you your quarterback, Brian Daboll, and you better show me you can develop him year one or your ass is out on the street. That's what I would have done. Instead of playing the game the way they played it. Instead of, oh, I'm, you know, the Giants would never tank. Trade his ass. Let the team fall apart, lose every stinking game, and let's go get our franchise quarterback. That's what should have been done last year. And now they bottomed out this year, and now they're where they are to draft a quarterback in this draft class. That's it. And you know what? If Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, if that's who they end up with, and they stink, and they end up at the top of the draft next year, then draft Archie Manning again. Draft another quarterback again. Keep drafting them until you get it right. That's it. If Shedeur Sanders isn't any good and you don't believe in him and you're firing Brian Daboll and you're changing his offense and he didn't show you anything and practices were like, oh my God, he could barely throw the football and it was a disaster and you've got the first pick, draft a quarterback again. Eric in Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Man, good morning. I'm not sure John Mara has the stomach to do something like that.
He should. It would have been a lot easier to stomach those losses last year and now have, you know, Jaden Daniels leading the franchise as opposed to here we go again.
Yeah, yeah. Just real quick before I get to the Jets, I can certainly I sympathize with the whole sleeping aspect, believe me. As long as I've been doing this, thankfully, I haven't had too much difficulty falling asleep, but, you know,
I have zero difficulty falling asleep. It's staying asleep. I don't, like, I fall asleep almost as soon as my head hits the pillow. It's just, I don't know what it is, 3-4 hours in, I'm up. Like, I very rarely sleep.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
I sleep longer than 3 or 4 hours in a sitting. At least when I was for a while. Now when I'm struggling, my struggle isn't falling asleep. My struggle is staying asleep.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, the schedule does kind of mess you up a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
look, just real quick, as far as, you know, if the Giants do draft, you know, one of these two guys, you know, as far as quarterback, please, whatever, I mean, you know, I heard what he said about if they do well the first couple of games, just don't nickname the guy, please. You know, because, I mean, Daniel Jones, after the first couple of games with Danny Dimes, and then it's Tommy Cutlets, don't nickname the guy, please, because it's like a recipe for disaster. It really is, not for nothing. But, you know, just let them develop into a quarterback, you know, and all that. And then, you know, after 4 or 5 years, if they're successful, then give him, you know, whatever. But I know it sounds silly. But, I mean, immediately, like, I remember, you know, after, what was it, San Francisco or Tampa, whatever, one of the first games that Dan Jones played.
Tampa.
He's dropping passes in there, like, yeah, like, dropping passes in, like, you know, he was born to do it all
yeah,
of a sudden.
He played very well
time,
in the first game
you know?
In Tampa, yeah.
Yeah. So, but look, as far as the Jets, and I'm, you know, you and I spoke last week about, you know, how the press conference doesn't mean much and everything. Look, the one thing I will say about Aaron Glenn, which I do like, okay, aside from the fact that, you know, he's been with, you know, Detroit and everything, I do like the fact that he's gone through the whole sequence of
yep.
steps to get to where he is.
Yep.
That speaks a lot. You know, now, whether he'll be successful here, who knows?
Yeah.
Okay. But at least it's somebody who's gone through the, you know, the earned his dues and 100%. Everything to get to where he is.
I totally agree. He is absolutely qualified for the job. He is, you know, he's not getting this job just because he's a former Jet. He worked his ass off, right. Went through every single step, yes. Went and was a scout, quality control coach. Like, he did everything you could. He's a well-rounded coach. He's going to be able to do a lot. There's no doubt he is worthy of this job. Absolutely.
Yeah, and based on what, I mean, if I heard Boomer correctly, it sounded like he didn't even want to initially go with the scouting. And Parcells, like, really impressed with the part.
Yeah, that's what he said in the press conference. Yeah, he told the story of he asked to be a coach, and he said, you're not going to be a coach. You're going to go be a scout. And he's like, I don't want to go be a scout. And he's like, yeah, you are, because that's where the best head coaches come from. So whether or not it was his idea to start from the bottom, or he was forced to, or he was given advice to, he did. And he's got experience. Yeah. He's got experience scouting. He's got experience quality control. He is, without question, a extremely qualified candidate for this job. I would have went a different direction. That's over now. He's the guy.
Right.
I just don't care.
Right.
Like, the press conferences, we're the New York Jets and we're built for this crap. I mean, Rex Ryan gave the same rhetoric. And it worked early on, but then it ultimately failed. So, like, I don't really care about the press conference. I think it's overblown that it's this home run grand slam, because we've seen home run grand slams fail. We've seen miserable press conferences.
Right, and that's what you and I have mentioned that fact already.
Yeah, and we've seen miserable. Nick Sirianni couldn't go back and watch Nick Sirianni's press conference. It's funny. He can't speak. Like, he talks in a certain, he completely loses his train of thought, and he's talking absolute nonsense. And he's about to, he literally doesn't know what to say, and now he's going to go to his second Super Bowl.
Right. Well, I mean, look, I mean, how many times have you heard, I don't recall the name off the top of my head, but I know that there's one of the coaches has famously not interviewed well the last number of seasons.
Bienemy.
People wondered. Yeah, okay, thank you. You know, some people just don't interview or public speaking very well.
Yeah.
But they could be phenomenal, or vice versa. I mean, that's why I'm at the point where I let the results do the talking.
100%. So, that's the only, and thank you for the call, Eric. That's all that is to do. Let the results do the talking. He didn't embarrass himself. He didn't fail. He didn't make you think, oh, my God, we are screwed. Because that was some of the thought process after the eyes of Gase. And we'll get into it a little bit, but because I find the dichotomy a little interesting. But Liam Cohen, the former offensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who got hired in Jacksonville first of all the stories surrounding it. You know, he didn't want to take the job with the current general manager still there. They thought so much of him. He was about to go sign the largest contract any offensive coordinator's ever signed with Tampa Bay, but Khan and the Jacksonville Jaguars thought so highly of him, they fired Bulkey, and they did everything they could to hire him and bring him in, and then he has a press conference. Now, I went back and watched a lot of the press conference. It wasn't, like, all terrible, but he has a signature laughable bad moment, body language, head tilt, awkward way of saying, like, he just looks like, oh, my God. That is not, you watch Aaron Glenn speak and how he holds himself and his demeanor and his body language, and you go, that's a football coach. And then you watch Liam Cohen go, Duval, with his head all twisted, and you go, oh, dear Lord, what did they just do? And he's the kind of coach I wanted. If you're going to go rookie, I wanted offensive mind. I wanted someone who's going to, you know, come in and be that offensive-minded head coach. We'll find out. Is the press conference more important, or is offensive coach more important? I guess as the years play out, we'll see. If he turns around Trevor Lawrence, that will tell the story of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of Season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, 337. Dick Monaco here with you on The Fan. Let's get into a little Pete Alonso. I didn't do it yesterday. We were doing a lot of football. But obviously, at Amazing Day, some interesting things happened, some interesting things said. First of all, I think we all understand, right? I know Evan was said this on his podcast and then said it today, again today. Like, I think it was fairly obvious, or at least I felt it was fairly obvious. I know there are some fans who are displeasured with the Mets right now, and I understand why, more than most do. I do understand why you could be, you know, Sal doesn't understand it at all. I love Sal. Sal doesn't understand why you would be the slightest bit upset with Stearns or Cohen with the Pete Alonso situation. You signed Juan Soto. When's enough enough? Damn it. This is the best it's ever been. They were in the NLCS. They just signed Juan Soto. How could you even have the slightest gripe? I disagree with that. I could understand being frustrated on some level by the Pete Alonso situation and the offseason and the rotation and the team trying to compete with the Dodgers. I can understand some frustration with this ownership group. I wouldn't understand booing them, and I don't think that's what happened. All right, let's just start there real quick. I do not believe that David Stearns and Steve Cohen were booed themselves. It's not like they got introduced and boos came running down. When the fans there in particular, anyone who would go to Amazing Day, I have a tough time not adding the G. Anyone who's going to go to Amazing Day is a diehard fan. And I did a podcast today with a young Met fan. And he talked about growing up with Pete. And people who go to Amazing Day are fans of the team, fans of the players, feel a connection to the team so strong that they want to go do things like this and see the former players. And they want to have Pete be a part of this in 10 years when they have Amazing Day. Like, so when David Stearns starts giving you excuses, and whether or not they're fair excuses, we're going to get into in a second, but when David Stearns starts telling you and telling those fans there live that, hey, we love Pete. I really don't. I love Pete, but, you know, we've got some realities here, and, you know, we have internal options that we like a lot. He starts giving you reasons and excuses on why Pete won't be here. And whether it's specifically the young player idea or just the idea that they're not bringing back Pete, his tone was very clearly, we have other options. Let's move on from Pete Alonso. That was the tone David Stearns gave you without giving you those exact words. And that's what the fans were booing. I think that's fairly obvious. They were booing the idea of moving on from Pete Alonso, and particularly the idea of internal young options as opposed to going out and getting a legitimate bat in the middle of this lineup. They don't like that particular idea, and in the moment, we're able to voice that opinion. I think 99, and you would have to be crazy otherwise, even though I've been critical of how they've handled this situation, you would have to be, you know, pretty out there as a Met fan to be unhappy, like blatantly unhappy with ownership and Steve and David Stearns right now. Now, I understand now you're the guy. Now heavy lies the crown. Within a year or two, I might be more understanding of people who are frustrated with Stearns and Cohen. But at the moment, off of the incredible ride that was last year in Stearns' first season as the executive of the team and how they were able to build that team and what he did with the rotation, you must be out of your mind. And that's why I think Met fans aren't out of their mind, and about 99.9% of them are happy with Cohen and Stearns at the helm, and we're just frustrated at the idea, especially in person. How often do you get to tell the GM what you think of his decisions? And they took advantage of it and booed one particular idea and one particular decision. No one was getting booed. So now that we've established that, and I think it's fairly obvious that that's the case, now you get down to what they said. And obviously the situation with Pete persists. Nothing new. The Mets have made their offer, and they're not budging. And Pete Alonso and Pete Alonso and his camp, namely the super agent, that is Scott Boras, haven't made moves either. And let me just tell you a couple things that did come out of it. This is something, this is Steve Cohen's answer. After the boos, after the frustration to the platitudes that David Stearns tried to give you, well, we have internal options, we love Pete, but blah, 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 blah. Here's the one thing, and to be fair, Evan did say this in the podcast, but it is something that jumped out to me as well. But I want you to listen to Cohen's response to the fans kind of voicing their frustration with the idea of moving on from Pete Alonso.
We've put, you know, we've made a significant offer to Pete. You know, what Davis said is correct. He's entitled to go out and explore his market, and that's what he's doing. Personally, this has been an exhausting conversation and negotiation. I mean, Soto was tough. This is worse. Okay? A lot of it is, you know, we've made a significant... I don't like the structures that are being presented back to us. I think it's highly asymmetric against us. And I feel strongly about it. And so, you know, I will never say no. You know, there's always the possibility. But the reality is, you know, we're moving forward and, you know, we continue to bring in players. As we continue to, you know, bring in players, the reality is, you know, it becomes harder to fit Pete into a, you know, what is a very expensive, you know, group of players that we already have. And that's where we are. And I'm being brutally honest. I don't like the negotiations. I don't like what's been presented to us. You know, listen, maybe that changes, and certainly, you know, I'll always stay flexible. If it stays this way, you know, I think we're going to have to get used to the fact that, you know, we may have to go forward and with the existing players that we have.
Well, I mean, that answers the booing question right there at the end. They applauded him, so I don't think they were booing Stearns and Cohen. But the initial thing that jumps out at me is I've been on this kick that the Mets don't want Pete Alonso. That ultimately, at this point, they're hoping he signs somewhere else to just end this. And I still believe that in some way. I still believe that. I shouldn't say in some ways. I certainly believe Stearns feels that way. I still do. But the thing that jumps out at me just initially, yes, he's honest, right? And that's been the talk. Oh, how honest he is and how open he is, and you don't hear that a lot from ownership. And I love the truth, and I love him being gritty and honest with us. And even if I don't like what he has to say, I appreciate the honesty. And that's true. But the thing that jumps out to me, and again, I'll give Evan credit because he did say it in the podcast, but it in the Rico, to me, the first thing that jumped out to me when I heard that is he's more invested in this than I thought. Like, I honestly believe Steve Cohen got involved in the Juan Soto negotiation. You have to if you're going to give out, you know, $750 million. It sounds even worse when you say it that way. $750 million. Obviously, the owner's going to be involved. But I honestly thought that Steve Cohen was going to just allow Stearns to handle this however he wanted to handle it. And so to hear how frustrated he is, not that he, you know, wouldn't have it be reported back to him, or that Stearns wouldn't go to him and say, here's where we are or whatever. But like, it feels like, at least now, I feel comfortable saying that I do believe the owner, at very least, would like to see it work out. I don't know if he wants it so much that he would force it. And I think that's what some fans want. And I never thought that. I don't think he wants Pete enough where he would tell David Stearns, make the deal, if Stearns didn't want to. But I do think from just hearing that the owner does, the owner who gives you the statues and the uniforms, which, by the way, I don't love the new uniforms, the road unis that they released, but that's neither here nor there. He gives you the uniforms he wants. He gives you the statues he wants. He gives you the old timers day he wants. He gives you the retired numbers day he wants. Like, for the guy who tries very hard to give you what you want, I thought he was being a little uninvolved and callous on some level with the Pete Alonso negotiations. And from that, I would tell you I might have read that wrong, and that he wants Pete Alonso at least on some level to retain, to be a Met, and would really prefer that he is a Met at the end of all of this, and is genuinely frustrated and is more involved in the negotiations than I thought he was. I figured, hey, I made sure the Juan Soto deal got done. You deal with everything else. You want to deal with Pete? Anybody who cost you $20 million or less, or $25 million or less, that's your decision. Go ahead, build the team. Like, I thought he was being very just removed from it, and then Stearns is allowed. And while I don't know if he'll overrule Stearns, he is clearly more involved in negotiations and this particular deal than I thought he was. So there's one. I'll give the Mets a little bit. I do think they want Pete more than I've been yelling. I still think David Stearns would love to wake up tomorrow and hear he signed a deal with the Angels, the Blue Jays. I have no idea why Seattle's not involved. They desperately need some offense. I mean, but I just think that's David Stearns. He would rather just be done with all of this. But the owner actually does want Pete. And I think that's probably why you're seeing any offers. I'll be totally honest with you. Even at 3 years at $70 million or $68 million, I believe the only reason that offer is even made at all is because Cohen is like, no, let's try and sign him. Because I honestly believe that David Stearns doesn't want him at all. And now you get to what was said. And how he does, and there's a couple of things in there that I do understand a Met fan not being thrilled with. I have to be fair, not to the point of booing or really crazy frustration. And once they do move on from Pete, you move on from the situation. But I have to admit a couple of things. One, like the idea of the structure, right? And I think Steve Cohen is very smart, and I'm not saying he's lying necessarily at the structure, but I do think it is an easy thing to put this at the blame of Scott Boras. We want to blame Scott Boras. We're fed up of the super agent Scott Boras. I'm not saying Scott Boras isn't to blame. He very well may be, and we'll see what these unfavorable structures are. Maybe one day we'll find out. Exactly. There's been reporting on what it could be. Evan himself has said that he believes it's that he wants money if he opts out. So it would be a three-year deal with an opt-out, and if Pete Alonso opts out, if he makes that choice to opt out, the Mets would have to pay him more money, right? So that's reported by Evan. We don't know that to be a fact, but that's maybe one of the structural things that he has a problem with. But here's where I sort of understand and disagree. Because we talk about the idea that Pete Alonso needs to come to grips with reality. And ultimately, that's kind of where we're headed, where there are no other offers. There are no other, like right now, we don't know what his market is. Nobody else has offered him a contract. Maybe they won't offer him a contract until they know he doesn't want to be a Met. Or maybe the market really has just gotten to a point where nobody really wants to pay Pete Alonso. So I understand that. And so ultimately, he's going to have to make a decision. But we talk so much about doing what's right. Pete, come to reality. Do what you have to do to get the contract. Come back. Be reasonable. Blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry for the richest owner in baseball who talked about then at the end the expensive team he's put together. A structure for a three-year deal. Like we talk about Pete, don't be stubborn. Don't be stubborn. Come back and be reasonable. Well, the only reason you wouldn't like some of these structures is because Steve Cohen is being stubborn for whatever reason. And you might agree with why he's being stubborn. I can't let that agent set a precedent with me. I can't allow this agent to create a structure that's never been seen before, and now I've got to live with that, and the rest of Major League Baseball has to live with that. I can't let Scott Boras dictate these negotiations to me. Because I'll be totally honest with you, for 3 years, like say that's the deal, right? Say the deal is Pete gets 3 years at $22 million. And after the first year, if he opts out, that first year becomes 27, and you have to pay him $5 million as he walks out the door. And that sounds patently ridiculous, right? Why would I pay someone $5 million after he walks out the door? Well, can I ask you a question? If that's the case, is that money on the books moving forward? Or are you giving an extra $5 to a year that's already a sunk cost, as Steve Cohen likes to say? If you want him, if you're up at night, if you are disgusted about not having Pete Alonso or how difficult this negotiation has been, a couple of million dollars on last year's payroll is the difference between having Pete Alonso or not. Like, I get it. Seems unreasonable. Where's Pete's market? All that's fair. And I'm not saying that they are handling it wrong. It might be the right tactic to hold firm. He's got no market. And I don't want to give him things that now have set a precedent every time I deal with a Scott Boras client. That all makes sense to me. But if you want him, and if you want to win this year, and we all clamor that Pete needs to be the one who swallows his pride and comes back, he's willing to do the short-term deal. If there's an opt-out, it costs you last year's money, is not something that this owner can't say yes to. It's not. Not if you want him. It's just not. Again, that might not be the best answer. I could understand why they don't want to do that. I could understand why the GM doesn't want to do that, certainly. But if that's the difference between finally ending this, if you're comfortable with 22 a year, but you're not comfortable on the idea of asking something that you deem unreasonable or changing the way contracts are done or structure you don't like, and you're going to let $5 million if Pete leaves after 1 year, because let me tell you something else. No matter how much more money it costs, and I doubt very much it's a large number, maybe it is, I would think the GM would be freaking thrilled to get 1 year of Pete Alonso this year and then have him opt out, and it costs $5 million on last year's books or whatever the case may be to get Pete Alonso off the team, and now I'm unfeathered to go buy the Japanese superstar or go buy Vladimir Guerrero Jr., and I don't have to worry about keeping Pete as my DH for the next 2 years. I think the opt-out is exactly what the Mets want. So why are you complaining about the added money other than you're being spiteful, other than you don't want to change, other than you're not willing to go that extra mile, other than you don't want to have negotiation tactics changed on you for future deals? All makes sense to me, but let's just be honest. If you're going to say Pete needs to swallow his pride and not let bitterness change his opinion, or not let bitterness be the difference a deal doesn't happen, I think you can fairly say the same thing to the owner. Don't let future negotiations or your hatred towards the GM or the agent, or don't let your bitterness on how this is handled keep you from getting the player you want. I do think it can work both ways, but I certainly understand why they're sticking firm, because right now the market's completely fell on itself. And that's where I'll go to Pete, and I think this is everybody's opinion. I don't know how it could not be your opinion. Pete, someone needs to tell you you're in charge of this, plain and simple. Because if you want to be a Met, you've got to go and tell, like, I was listening driving in, and Fliegelman was talking to Keith, and he talked about Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole opted out of his contract at the end of this year. He opted out, and the Yankees could have negated the opt-out by giving him an extra year, and they called his bluff. And he told Scott Boras, because there is no way Scott Boras wanted him to not hit free agency and see what he could get. Please. That's what Scott Boras does. And Gerrit Cole said, no, we're not playing this game. You convinced me to opt out. If they would have picked it up easily, fine. But they didn't. I'm not messing around. I'm a Yankee, so you go get it done. And at some point, Pete's going to have to do that if he wants to be a Met. But that's going to take pride swallowing. And that's going to take tucking your tail between your legs and going back and, you know, having an uncomfortable feeling in the organization. And I think that's part of it, because now, no matter what happens, like, there's going to be a feeling of resentment. There's going to be a feeling of resentment and tough questions to answer if there is a press conference or a Zoom call or whatever they would do to re-sign a player. These days, sometimes they don't have press conference from re-signing on players. Like we just mentioned, Gerrit Cole, technically he opted out and re-signed. There wasn't even a Zoom call. But this would be different. But still, I'm just like, it's awkward. And I think Pete wants to feel the love. And the Mets have shown him no love. And his idea of love is, give me the contract I want. No? Okay, I'll come down on years. Give me the contract I want. No? Okay, we'll give you some little bit of weird structuring. No? Like, the Mets are saying, here's what we value at, and no further. No messing around, no funky new tactics, no different structuring, no nothing. Here's what it is. Go find better and then come back to me. And that's where it is. And Pete doesn't want to have to go find better to convince them to pay him. And he should. I think there's wrong on every side of this thing. And Scott Boras is doing, like, people get mad at Scott Boras. Scott Boras is doing his job. But this is, I am not mad at Scott Boras in the least. This is not, Scott Boras is doing his job, trying to get his client the best deal possible. Plain and simple. It's up for these guys to take control of the negotiations. Like, you trust Scott Boras? I'm not saying you didn't give Scott Pete bad idea at some point, or bad information at some point, or bad, you know, advice at some point. Sure, he's the agent trying to get the best deal possible. At some point, Pete has to say, look, this last offer is fair. I'm willing to take it. Go make the deal. It's up to him. He runs this thing. Montgomery last year ran this thing. Did he trust his owner and then trust his agent and then get screwed? Sure. I get that. And then fire your agent. But that's on you. That's on you. And especially with Pete and the Mets. It's not on Boras. He's out there trying to get his best deal. Is he asking for too much? Is he coming up with weird structuring? He's trying to get Pete. Pete wants to be a Met and save face. And that's what Scott Boras is out there trying to do. He's trying to bring him to the Mets and get enough of a deal where it saves some face. And it's up for Pete to say enough trying to save face. Get me the best deal I can with the Mets. They're offering the best deal, right? Toronto's not offering me more money. The Angels aren't offering me more money. The Giants aren't offering me more money. No one's offering me more money. Take the deal with the Mets. Forget the weird structuring. Let's go home. It's up to Pete to do. It's not up to Scott Boras. It's on Pete. It's on the Mets.